Hello, this is Jane Nelson with Focusing on Solutions for Positive Discipline. And today I'm very excited to have a special guest, Marianne McGinnis, who attended the Teaching Parenting the Positive Discipline Way workshop. And when she started sharing with me some of the things that she had learned and some of the difference it had made in her parenting, I asked if she would be willing to share it with our listening audience. So welcome, Marianne.
Thank you so much.
And the thing I'd like you to share first was just your impression of the workshop and what you gained from it and what you learned.
Sure. Well, I came to the workshop having read some of your books and feeling excited about the idea of integrating the positive discipline into my family with my two boys who are 10 and 11. And, you know, just really spent 2 days feeling like I gained so many tools and came home feeling extremely hopeful about how I was going to implement these things. And I literally, I'm still doing this, I literally have 3 or 4 of your books sort of scattered around my bed and just sort of pick them up at any time that I'm feeling frustrated and page through them until I find something that clicks that I can read. And it really helps calm me down. And I think my favorite thing about the positive discipline is that I feel like I am on my child's side. I'm on both my boys' side. Whereas when I used to use more conventional parenting tools, punishing and taking away privileges, those sorts of things, I always felt like I was across a vast sort of river from them and was never on their side and was sort of... And I thought that's how I needed to be. I also really thought that's how I needed to be to raise my kids and keep them safe. And it's so nice to know that I can be loving and kind and firm and stay on the same side as they are.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think it was so interesting that you said, give us a little bit more detail of some of the things that you thought you should do, because I think so many parents can relate to this. It's like we do what was done to us, or sometimes the opposite of what was done to us, and because we just don't know what else to do. And it was just so fun to hear you have so many insights. But actually, before you even answer that question, I just want to acknowledge you for how present you were at the workshop. You just jumped up and volunteered to do every single activity, and you were just so enthused about what you were learning and applying it to your own life and sharing your insights. It was just a delight. But some of those things that you shared about things that you had been doing that you didn't feel comfortable with, and then what you did instead, and then I know you have some really fun success stories to share.
Sure. You know, I'm the classic nagging mom. So my days felt especially, and I started feeling this way when the school year started, because of course, you know, we transitioned from summertime when everybody was off, and it was very enjoyable to be around home. My husband's a professor, so he's also off in the summer, and things can be very relaxed. So school time hits, and it's from morning to night, it just felt like constant nagging, getting them out of bed. And by the way, of course, I was doing it all. I was putting it all on me. I was the alarm clock. I was the cook. I was the cleaner. So it was just everything was, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get in the shower. Come on, let's get in the shower. We need to go. We need to get out to breakfast. So a big part of it was that I was constantly just yabbering. And I'm sure they didn't hear a word of it. You know, I'm sure I could have just played a tape and done just as well.
I think kids do learn to just tune us out. The more we talk, the less they listen. In fact, I often talk about when parents say, my kids don't listen. I say, well, I wonder what you're doing to help create that.
Absolutely. And it's so funny when you say, you know, what does 1, 2, 3 teach kids? It teaches them to wait till the number 3. Well, that's what I felt like. It would wait till it got to that point where they knew I was going to yell. And that's when they would come out to the kitchen. And I would say, do you just like to see me totally flabbergasted? And, you know, and they didn't like it, but they knew that that was the actual alarm, that that's when things were actually going to get unpleasant for everybody. So that's when they would wait to listen. And then the other side of it is, if the kids did something, quote-unquote, wrong, or, for instance, if they would forget something at school and the teacher would use some form of letting me know, a note or a call home or something like that, then I would back up that teacher's consequence by, you know, taking away a privilege of no TV show this weekend, or no, we're not going to go to the movies, taking away privileges that they enjoy, no playing your new Wii game, that sort of thing. And my husband, who's a very laid-back guy, still goes to those conventional things. I mean, he's very willing to try the positive discipline, but he tends to be very laid-back, he's a fun-loving guy, but when he gets fed up, then he'll go to the, you know, go to your room for a timeout, da-da-da-da, just the very common punitive things.
Well, so, I think that's another thing that's very common. I know it was the way I used to be. I would be too kind until I couldn't stand my kids, and then too firm until I couldn't stand myself because I didn't know what else to do. And so I have a hunch that he, just like you, when you find out, there is something else to do that feels good to you and feels good to the kids.
Sure, absolutely. And that, you know, while I was more controlling, there was a side that would switch where I would, when I felt like I had just been being the mean, controlling, nagging mom for so long, I would have sort of an all-out day where I'd take the kids out shopping and we'd veg out on movies all day and we'd eat junk food and, you know, sort of like I needed to make up for all the time I was being such a mean person. So
tell us now some of the things that you've done instead, some of the success stories. I especially want people to hear about the peeing in the toilet. That
one. Sure. Well, you had told a really moving story about a little girl who was helped a lot when people had given her unconditional love, and basically how they had told her when she was doing something that they didn't really like that they still loved her. So I remembered this with my younger son, who has just turned 10, who still forgets to lift the toilet seat. Now I'm the only gal in the house these days, so you know, I'm the one that gets the wet seat to sit on if he forgets to lift up the seat. And I have, you know, every time it happens, I've done like, Kenny, I'm going to have you come and sit on this so you know what it feels like. Or, you know, just come in and wipe this up. Come in and you did it again, Kenny. You know, just really negative and punitive. So the last time it happened, and I'm happy to say it has been maybe 3 weeks now, he had done his little routine, and I walked in, and we were both happened to be standing there, and we both looked down. We could both see that there were sprinkles on the toilet seat, and I just turned in and gave him a hug and said, you know what, Kenny, I love you so much, and I love you even if you pee on the seat. But I tell you, I would like it if you didn't, and he hasn't done it since. It's just so amazing to me.
I just absolutely love that story. It just shows how powerful, you know, Rudolf Dreikers used to say that a child needs encouragement just like a plant needs water. And that's why the story you were telling, I was talking about giving hugs when in doubt, give a hug, and also that how important it is to make sure the message of love gets through first.
Right.
And that's just such a beautiful example of that and how effective it can be and how much more children respond to feeling that love and that belonging, and that then that just really inspires them to cooperate. And so you were also telling another story about cleanup. Share that one.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I am so, because sitting in your workshop, we would role play things or do things, and it would work so beautifully. And I thought, my kids are never going to fall for this. You know, they're going to hear me say these things, and they're going to know it's a big act that mom's trying something new. And my family likes to be very cynical and sarcastic and sort of call people out when they're doing things in a funny way, but So, and I did at first, it was so nice to talk to you and have a good reminder that things don't just happen instantly all the time. And my kids did sort of look at me suspiciously.
She's been to that workshop.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I was pretty upfront with them. You know, I let them know, listen, you're going to hear me trying some new things. And we do have family meetings. We've had those for a long time. So that's one thing we've always done. But I came home. This was just yesterday, and the kids, you know, what I've been doing since the workshop is, instead of me telling the kids when it's time to do homework, we have a powwow after school, because every day is different. We have different things going on. So we have a powwow, and they decide when it would be good for them to do the homework. And I do say, you know, I do let them know that I would appreciate it if it were done by the time dinner is, and I give them that time, and then they get to choose in that window. So they did that. This is at 2:30. They chose 4:30. And they said they wanted to play until then. Fine. You know, and we had made a date then to play Uno after dinner. So we had all agreed that we'd really try to get everything done with the kitchen and homework and all of that by 6:30 so that we could play this Uno game. Big thing in my family. We all lay on our bed and play that. And so
that's a wonderful picture.
So they were off playing, and they were playing in the garage where our laundry is, and it's right next to our kitchen, and I was looking at all the dishes on the counter and thinking about the clean dishes in the dishwasher that needed to be emptied before I could put the dirty dishes in, and then looking at all the laundry we'd been gone for the weekend that needed catching up on. And, you know, I just walked out to them, and mind you, the old me would have said, okay, boys, I know I said you could play, but you need to empty the dishwasher first. I walked out and I said, oh, you guys, I got to tell you something. I am looking at these dishes on the counter and the dishes in the dishwasher and these clothes, and, boy, I have a lot to do by the time we get to dinner. What do you guys think you could do to help me out? And they both roll their eyes and look at each other and say, well, the dishwasher. And I said, oh, that'd be so great. And they said, but we'll do it, you know, at 5:30 when you start dinner. I said, wow. I said, you know, it would be so helpful if we could pick a time earlier so that when I go in to start dinner, it's already clean. I said, do you think you could pick a time earlier? Yeah, we'll do it at 3:30. So I said, oh, that's great. And my latest phrase has been, if you give me a time, I'll turn my buggo meter off. And they really respond to that. So they said, you can turn your buggo meter off. We'll do it at 3:30. So I went and to do some work in my office. At 3:30, I walked out. They were emptying the dishwasher. They never empty the dishwasher without me. Okay, you said you'd do it. Come on, you promised you'd do it. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And they did it without a single nag word from me. It was just amazing.
Well, this is another great example of how when children are involved in the process, well, they feel like they have some choice. And when it's inviting, when your requests are inviting, it's just they're so much more willing to cooperate and be helpful. And, oh, gosh, I think that's a wonderful example.
It really, I mean, and I could talk to you for 2 days straight. It's just I'm sort of amazed. And with my older son, who I was feeling the majority of the struggles with, who tends to be very much like my husband, very quiet guy, doesn't talk a lot, has been, since I've taken on this tact, has been talking to me so much more, wanting to hang out with me, spontaneously telling me that he loves me, and it just sort of blows me away. I mean, of course, he's far from perfect, but it's so wonderful to sort of see all these things and see this child. I really felt like I was playing a huge part in shutting him down before.
Wow. So what you've just verified is what so many people discover, is that these positive discipline principles are good in all relationships, including marriages, because they're just based on love and respect and cooperation and all those universal principles.
They really are. I mean, my husband says, I know you're doing this to me too, and I have to tell you, I love it. So, it's true.
Oh, this is just great. Well, Marianne, is there any other thing you want to say? I think that you've given so many wonderful examples that I think are going to be very inspiring to a lot of people. Is there anything else you want to share at this time? Because I'm sure we will talk again.
Well, I'd be happy to talk again. Yeah, I hope that parents out there who think that this sounds like Pollyannaville or little butterflies floating all around, give it a try, because, you know, I was one of those people, and I'm really just thrilled to pieces at how this works.
Well, thanks so much for sharing, and I hope you'll keep in touch with me and keep these little stories coming, and we'll share them with people, because it's so much fun talking with you.
No doubt. I will. It's great talking to you, too.
Okay. Thanks, Marianne.
Sure thing.
Okay. This is Jane Nelson with Focusing on Solutions for Positive Discipline. Until next time.